Luke 11. Now, some of this is going to be duplicated for those of you that have been in bananas, but maybe we'll get a different slant on it here tonight. Luke 11 starts with Christ teaching on the Lord's Prayer without the what's called the kaddish, or the ending of the, that's in the version of it in Matthew. And then he says in verse 5, and he said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in his journey, is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Now, we've studied that a lot in here over the years, but we've missed the most important point of it. And the most important point is that the person that was being bugged, in type God, was being bugged by John, not for John's benefit, but for John's friend. And so the idea then, that defines intercessory prayer. And the intercessor, by definition, must be an intercessor with impunity. Importunity and impunity. But he must, it must be an ask and keep on asking, seek and keep on seeking, knock and keep on knocking, because you're doing it in confidence, because you're not doing it for yourself. Now, it is vital that this be understood and seen by everybody here because of this huge conflict that we have based on the doctrine. Do you understand? The doctrine has caused us to have a huge conflict in prayer. The doctrine says, I have learned in whatsoever state I find myself therewith to be content. I've learned to be abound, I've learned to be abased, I've learned in whatsoever state I find myself therewith to be content. Do you understand that that castrates prayer? It should. I mean, it's supposed to. It wouldn't be in the Bible if it didn't. It castrates prayer for yourself. And it requires that there be a body in which you confess your, James calls it, faults. Confess your faults one to another that you might be healed. But it's confess your need. First of all, do you understand that it's the friend that's prayed for? It can't be in the big group. That's then, because in the big group we lose the sense of immediacy, the sense of community, the sense of the intimacy of the Seder group. Now, it doesn't mean we're not going to pray for healing periodically. But it, when the idea of prayer requests has to be in the Seder group, and it has to be with the intention that you're speaking your need so that someone else, you're speaking your need for bread so that someone else can go to the Father and say, my friend needs bread. You understand the difference? And it's vital. It's so simple yet so vital. And in each body, I can identify at least 2 people whose office is intercessory prayer in each of the Seder groups. Now, it doesn't work to go on, well, sometimes it does, I shouldn't say that. But encourage and push that office in each of your groups. Now, there are now If it's today is what? If it's Sunday, there was 41, 40, 39, 30. There are 38 days left in the count of the Omer. We have 38 days to find out the meaning of prayer. Does everybody understand this?
It's like the simplicity of it is disarming, because it shouldn't be so simple. You know, there should be a trick to it or something, but it's not a...
No, that's why there's nothing more confusing than trying to understand prayer alone. If you have any intellectual honesty or any spiritual honesty. I mean, it just doesn't compute. Maybe everybody else but me saw this clearly all this time, but I didn't see this clearly until we began the count of the Omer. I never saw that it was the friend that he was going to.
Oh, yeah, in that scripture.
Yeah. I mean, we've studied that for 100 years.
Well, there's a couple, you know, there's two opportunity things, I guess. One of them was for the friend, the other one's just for a lady with a judge or something.
So we're going to study that one next.
Yeah.
Because that's even a better one. But again, do you see this conflict? That's what I want you to understand and admit.
Hell yes. Not only yes, but hell yes.
The one you're talking about being
praying for yourself.
Being content. And,
yeah, I see it real bad.
And
it's real bad.
Hey, let's see it clear. Let's say really bad. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Well, it's not just the conflict of being content. It's the conflict of the essence of the doctrine, which it is finished. If it's finished, why do I need to pray for anything?
Exactly.
That's what we're going to address in the next.
And I don't express my needs because in Bible study, I don't have any needs or something like that. I don't think.
Well, it's also because you're stiff-necked.
Well, I'm stiff-necked during the day, but when Bible study starts, my neck kind of loosens up.
Yeah, it loosens up real fast.
It's like he repents and...
Well, that's the truth.
And he stiffens back up right after Bible
study. Hey, you're going to fall back for that? You're going to bury your soul, and what are you going to fall back for that?
But I want you really to hone in on this in your groups. Philippians 4, are we there? Not in verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, you have well done. That you did communicate with my affliction or meet my need.
Language.
Okay, now let's go to Luke 18. It's something else I never saw. In all of the time I've studied Luke and studied prayer and I never saw this, what I'm about to talk about, until we started the counting of the Omer. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint.
What verse?
One.
I guess
we're slipping all the rules.
I missed it.
Oh,
Turn to Luke chapter 18.
And the breakfast, the morning Bible study is like different than any other Bible study I've ever taught. I was talking to Gary about this. I think the main difference is because everybody in there works for me. No, they don't stay asleep. No, siree, Bob.
They're on the payroll.
It's a trip.
Yeah,
but it is for those.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that it's that, plus it's the first thing in the morning. It's like all that stuff hasn't started yet, theoretically.
It's funny. Just by happenstance, Harry always sits to my left in the morning Bible study, too, you know, towards the evil.
Yeah, the evil stuff.
He's like the living example. He gets busted more.
Yeah, he usually takes a few shots.
No, it's funny that we study.
It's funny that I go through withdrawal. Like, if you're away for a while or you're sick or something, like, you know, it's like I go through withdrawal. It's like, what's wrong?
Now, we talked about that. This morning, we're talking about the armor of God, and we've been talking about the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. This morning, we talked about the helmet of salvation and what that means. But in each of these things, each of these arenas, I mean, it's really heavy. I mean, it's like pushes everything to the wall. And so we just finished this thing, and everybody was just, you know, apparently we had walked in Revelation for a half hour or so.
And
Harry, I don't even remember what it was.
This was days ago.
I know, but it was like
a million miles since then.
It was like
it was not in the past.
It was something to do with peace.
It was like anyway. Okay, now are you done with this stuff? So we can get on to something important. We got to get this done.
We wanted to get the boards moved.
Yeah.
Oh, the boards moved. That's right.
Something else to do.
And Pete had something else to do. And Harry went into orbit. I mean, and it was just exactly what we had just studied. And Harry, he'd forgotten that everything that he'd ever learned, everything, and he was just gone.
It was the antitype.
At the end of the meeting.
That's good.
But if that happens.
We've seen it before.
And then Doug. In the morning meeting, I can just look at Doug and he starts justifying himself.
He's eating a banana.
I didn't even have to say a word.
Man, I'm just eating a fucking banana.
Sometimes a cigar is just.
And Gary Martin starts agreeing before, you know, it's like, before
he agrees to it. The other morning, Ollie explodes with this megaphone screaming, "Stop shaking your head like a goddamn dog in the back of the car." Because Gary sits there and he gets his smile and he goes, right? So he says, "Stop doing that," and Gary goes,
"He didn't stop doing it.
We started the last night where each person listed their prayer request. It's really neat. I made him make a list. We didn't finish. That's great. I think it'll. Because with this in mind, i.e., that it's somebody else's job. You just speak it, and it's somebody else's job to pray for it.
Yeah.
Luke 18.
First one.
You understand that we've grown up in a culture, and it's still in our minds, in our conscious minds, that faith is a commodity. We hear even teaching, and it's one of the big reasons of it is because there's a terrible mistranslation in Hebrews. In Hebrews 11:1, it says where it says hope is the substance. And so, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And so, what this word faith movement has done, and they've just crystallized with the rest of, is that faith has become a commodity. It's a thing that you hold on to, and it's sick. It's
something besides the life of Christ.
It's opposite of the truth, because the scripture says that the translation of that is faith is the assurance. Not substance. It's something totally different. Now, with that in mind, we're going to read Luke 18, okay? Verse 1, Doug. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary, or bring me justice. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith. In other words, it's Shema, that. Hear with understanding. That's what the unjust judge has said. And the idea is that if this unjust judge did that, the comparison, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Now, we always stop, or I have anyway, when I've studied that, with speedily. I've never tied the nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. The idea of life is that it's finished. The idea of revelation is that we are content in whatsoever state we find ourselves. That's the idyllic state. That is called faith. You understand that? It's the idea that he has put all things under his feet, and whatever it is, wherever we are, we see Jesus. That's faith. But if there is some area, he's saying here, where you cannot see him, then go ahead and pray for it. It's like if there's an area in your life that you cannot and have not seen its futility and vanity, go ahead and pray for it so that you can see its vanity. Because, and the nevertheless here is the key scripture, when he comes, shall he find faith on the earth?
Why is that a question? I don't
understand. The question is, go ahead and start this the no faith praying. Pray for the goodies. Pray for whatever it is you think you want to do. Pray for all of, that's not faith. Do it quickly, speedily, so that when he comes, the question is, will he find faith in on this earth?
Yeah. If you don't do that, you'll never get to the end to where it will be.
And therefore, you'll never... See, the interesting thing is, if you understand this section here, what we have been taught is faith is the opposite of faith. We've been taught that faith is a commodity to get stuff. And if you just have the, and it's even, it's this stupid thing, the mustard seed faith. Or plant a seed in this fertile soil. And no matter how much we know that that theology is ridiculous, it has infected us.
Yeah, when you said that thing about sort of substance assurance, I mean, that was like an explosion.
Yeah. Because it's not, if you have the faith of as grain of mustard seed, and then you wear a little mustard seed around. That's not what that says anyway. It says if you have the faith as a grain of mustard seed, and we've talked about this. The fact is, it doesn't matter how big the mustard seed is, the mustard seed knows it's a mustard seed. If you know who you are in Christ, that's the faith that that's talking about. It has nothing to do with the size of the stupid seed. But hear me, this can free you if you've been circumcising yourself. Harry's got a room full of prayer requests. Because he kept, I'm not supposed to pray for that. That's the stupidest thing in the universe. but it's probably my fault. That's what pisses me off.
Give me a second.
So you get down?
Yeah.
See, it's always my fault. It's always mine.
Because somehow in the teaching, you have come to a position of circumcising yourselves with regard to prayer. And so you've been in bondage with regard to praying. And it's my fault, because I haven't explained this. I haven't explained the thing about intercession.
I don't think you're off the hook yet, though.
Hmm?
Don't think you're off the hook.
No, I don't. Does everybody understand these two points tonight? Faith says it's finished, that God, I'm so sick unto death of those that come to God for what God can do for him. And that theology. Do you understand? For us, God is the end. In him is the end. All hope, all dreams, or all ambitions. That's why the Magi traveled halfway across the known worlds, because he was what? He was the desired one of the nations. In him, everything was fulfilled. So when we put on this helmet of salvation, we are putting on the end of our hope and our desires, because they're all in him. He's the end. Now, the problem is that we keep taking on and off the helmet. And what do we do? Again, just because he's an easy example, but Harry's got this, he's put all his closet full of prayer requests, things that he wants in this closet back here. Or 45 closets full, probably. Because his core program said, I'm not supposed to pray for that. Therefore, he can never be free. He's in bondage to those things, and he can never have repentance.
Yeah. It reminds me of the thing, the if only deal, and the almost disciple thing. Because it's like when you can't pray for them, then they become if onlys.
Yeah, but they're not even if onlys around here, because you get your head cut off for if onlys.
Yeah.
So they're seminal things back here. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth? If you have these things in back there that you don't think you should have prayed for, what is it? Spiritually, it's the garment spotted by the flesh. Can you understand that? Am I communicating to anybody?
No, I think I understand what you're saying. I think what I understand is that what you just said, which is if there's anything, there's no righteousness in not praying for it.
It's only stupidity.
If it's there, if it's hidden, whatever it is, it's still there, and it means that faith is not in the earth. And if he comes at this point, adios, sorry.
Because the garment's
that's fine. The urgency. That's the speedily. The confession is, I believe I have a need.
Do you understand? That's what James called the fault.
Yeah, here's my fault, and please pray, because I have tried to get rid of it. I can't get rid of this fault. It is a fault. Therefore, please help me.
And it doesn't matter whether
he will provide this, because I'm screwed unless he does.
Yeah, it doesn't matter whether you perceive it as a fault. Do you understand that? You can be praying for the most, and the thing that kills you in this arena, just kills you, is sincerity. Because sincerity blinds you totally.
So the intercessor may be praying for Judy to get the washing machine that she said that she has to have, but in reality, what that person is really praying for is that person's to be in faith.
Come to faith.
I know, but we don't have to worry about doing that.
I'm not saying that.
Yeah.
I mean, you really are praying for the washing machine. But it worketh something much greater.
Yeah, she said, He said, please provide this thing. Well, a thing may not be provided. It may be by empathy you see through it.
Right. You don't have to do it, or it doesn't have to happen. All of a sudden you see, that's a stupid thing to want.
Or you see...
It's like I was praying. Wait a minute.
That's what you were saying to me this afternoon, isn't it?
Right.
Okay.
It's like I was, you know, I prayed for a talk show. That is now the farthest thing in the universe. I know, I don't want a damn talk show. That'd be crazy. So the prayer was answered.
You got like far much more than that.
Yeah.
Shut up, Judy. I'm trying to be spiritual.
But what?
I'm trying to be righteous.
Not only was it answered, but it was like answered.
Yeah, the fact is I got much more. I mean, but now it seems it would just be ludicrous for me to have a talk show and hate it. I mean, this may sound totally egotistical, but I want to be the ones that the talk shows are talking about.
Yeah, it would be limiting, you know, for you to have gotten what you wanted.
Yeah, it would have been a stupid.
What happens when you pray for stuff is that eventually, I mean, even in the praying of it, you get into this flow of knowing that God is in control.
Right.
Because that's what you're
doing. That's what you're doing. You're acknowledging, not only, but the other thing you're doing is you're causing your system to see that there's no part of the earth that your earth has been forsaken.
Yeah, you come to see that the condition, that the sum of the conditions is perfect. Yep. That there's nothing in the environment that needs to be changed. And if something is saying that it does need to be changed, it's a lie.
Okay, first of all, does everybody understand this stuff about what we just read? That nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith in the earth? Do you understand that? Why that?
I'll have to look at it more closely.
But if you think you need quail, then God probably is going to have quail coming out of your nose.
Go to James. This one is, I mean, this is neater than stuff.
It's James.
James 5, verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your... But again... The idea that your isn't in the text, it's in italics. Confess faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. The righteous man isn't Tilton or you praying. The effectual righteous prayer of a righteous man is the prayer of you praying for your brother. That's what availeth much. You understand that?
Well, what we're talking about is like it's Christ. You're participating in his prayer, praying for him.
I understand that. I understand that. But you got to hear this. It obviously is Christ. Yeah. But it has to. It has its manifestation that it can't be you praying for yourself. I have never been able to pray for myself. Never. Makes me feel queasy. I mean, I've tried. I'm not being very righteous here. I've tried when I've been in pain and stuff. It makes me feel queasy to pray for myself.
Like what Harry said, Christ prayed for himself at the garden
once. And then he said, whoa, stop, wait a minute. No, forget that. Yeah. Whatever you want to do, not what I want.
Well, that's
for this cause.
You're not saying don't pray for yourself. I mean, that's what we're talking about. It's everything you've got has got to be out there.
But hear me. Confess it as a fault. Give it to the body and let the body pray for it.
Yeah,
most of the time people, when they throw the stuff out, they're actually throwing it out as a prayer, not as a fault.
Well, that's all right. I mean,
it's a matter of, but it's a point of seeing that we have to communicate that this
means. Yeah. There are, most of the time, I literally don't have any prayer requests. I am content. I mean, and that's a blessing. I mean, that's most of the time. Last night in the weakness, I was the first one to give my list, and there's 8 or 10 things. And I don't know how to explain this. I am really excited about this. I'm like really, really excited. And I hope that you can communicate it to the Bible studies.
It really felt neat last night when we just all kind of got down on the floor and started praying, and it just felt like it was like a missing link, you know. It was like something that was a need that was getting met there, you know.
It did a lot of things. It blew the little structure of always sitting and everybody has their places and their postures and all that. But on the floor, some people were laying this way and that. And it was like there was a family all of a sudden.
Got out of his pews.
What?
Got out of your pew.
Yeah.
And the idea of it knitting people together, I think that's, you know, praying for yourself doesn't knit you together with anybody.
Well, that's all I want to talk about. That's enough. But counting of the Omer, it's 38 days until.
There's got to be something there too about springing it out into the light, saying it before the Seder. And I would think that in a lot of cases I think in a lot of cases I'll be able to just let it go.
Yeah, but you don't even, you can't even say that. I mean, to me, the one that's the clearest example of this is the idea of the talk show. I really wanted a talk show.
I'm very glad you don't have
it. Huh? I wanted a talk show.
You really wanted a talk show.
Whatever happened, you know, that prayer request and that fault, if you will, has gone. Forever.
What's the difference in, you still want a forum.
Yeah, now, that's different. The forum is, if you remember last night, I want to be able to speak the doctrine in arenas where people don't agree with me. Because that's what challenges. But anyway, the idea of, I didn't make any secret of wanting a talk show.
Yeah, you never really backed off of anything you really wanted. You just kind of get in there and chug away at it until it either happens or it doesn't happen, you know.
Anyway, everybody, the two points. One is the idea that it was with impunity you prayed for your friend.
Importunity.
God, how can I see that?
Well,
and the other one is that, you know, speedily, the idea of praying for it, speedily, nevertheless shall we find faith in the earth when we come up.
I keep thinking about when I was a child, I spake as a child, but as you're a child, then you're able to mature further on, but only as you are that child are you able to progress.
Yeah, and there's nothing more boring than a child trying to be an adult.
Yeah, that's what Larry was talking about that last night. It's like you don't want a child to go by the rules of some prayer scheme. You know, you just want the kid to come up and ask for whatever he wants, and then he'll figure out
in a natural way. You want some contrived.
What's going on later?
Mother dearest, please over.
Oh,
where's the
radiant
mother? Give me a drink of water.
Oh, I do want to say, don't give me this. I don't deserve it. It's worthy.
I shouldn't want this, but
Mother, please forgive me for wanting this water. Nevertheless, I feel that I shall die of thirst.
Some of the prayer requests that
there you go.